the Dow plunges more than 1,000 points. We'll explain why stocks took a dive. And the Justice Department releases part of the affidavit behind the FBI search of former President Donald Trump's Florida home.
This to date is the fullest accounting, the fullest official accounting of the events that led to the search of Mar-a-Lago.
We'll talk more about what's in the document and the questions it leaves unanswered. Plus, more Americans are taking vacations, but are they really unplugging? It's Friday, August 26th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the central bank must continue raising interest rates and hold them at a higher level until officials are confident inflation is under control. Powell delivered a highly anticipated speech at the Fed's annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this morning that economists are parsing for clues about the path ahead.
While higher interest rates, slower growth, and softer labor market conditions will bring down inflation, they will also bring some pain to households and businesses. These are the unfortunate costs of reducing inflation. But a failure to restore price stability would mean far greater pain.
U.S. stocks began falling during Powell's speech and kept on falling, ending the day with big losses. The Dow dropped more than 1,000 points, or more than 3%. The S&P 500 fell 3.4%, and the Nasdaq lost 3.9%. Our markets reporter Akane Otani has more.
Powell was very clear in delivering the message that the Fed doesn't think its job is done. It really isn't convinced yet that inflation has peaked, and therefore it thinks that it's going to have to keep raising interest rates higher for a longer period than many investors had been anticipating. And that, of course, is not great for risky assets like stocks. I mean, we had seen this big comeback in the stock market and the bond market as well over the last several weeks because investors had been anticipating maybe inflation is close to peaking and maybe that means the Fed can start to back off sometime next year. Well, Powell kind of just threw cold water on those hopes, and he made it very clear in his Jackson Hole address that no, the Fed is actually still very much in the rate increase game, and that for the time being, that position is not going to be changing.
We report exclusively that inspectors from the United Nations Atomic Agency are set to make an emergency visit to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine, which is currently under Russian occupation. People involved in the talks say next week's visit comes after a breakthrough in negotiations over access to the nuclear plant, which is the largest in Europe. The agency is expected to assess the plant's safety and address any security problems that have emerged during fighting between Ukraine and Russia. Moderna is suing rival COVID-19 vaccine makers Pfizer and BioNTech, arguing that their shots rely on messenger RNA technology that it developed and patented years ago. A Pfizer spokeswoman said the company was surprised by the lawsuit because its vaccine was based on BioNTech's proprietary technology. Moderna is not seeking an injunction to force the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine off the market, but is asking for unspecified monetary damages. And President Biden's plan to forgive federal student loans could test the legal powers of the president if his plan is challenged in court. The administration is relying on a legal statute known as the Higher Education Relief Opportunities for Students Act, or HEROES Act. Our legal reporter, Jacob Gershman, says the administration is taking a broad interpretation of that statute.
There's a real question of whether the Biden administration has the unilateral authority to engage in such a mass student debt cancellation. Republicans and even former senior education department lawyers, including one in the Obama administration, think that the HEROES Act statute was never really intended to wipe out carte blanche so much debt on a mass scale, but was more intended to allow for more targeted suspensions in loan repayments. The president himself has questioned whether he can actually do this.
President Biden said earlier this week that his administration would provide up to $10,000 in federal loan forgiveness for people with annual incomes below $125,000 and cancel up to $20,000 in debt for some Pell Grant recipients who also earn less than $125,000 a year. Coming up, parts of the affidavit behind the search of Mar-a-Lago have been made public, what we learned and what we're still seeking answers to after the break.
Nine out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's heavily redacted, but the Justice Department today released parts of the highly anticipated affidavit behind the FBI's search of former President Donald Trump's Florida home, Mar-a-Lago. It includes some key details behind what led to the search and what materials were seized from the residence. But it also leaves many pressing questions unanswered. So let's dive right into it with our Justice Department reporter, Sadie Gurman, who joins me now. Hi, Sadie. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sadie, what new information did we learn from the release of this affidavit?
Well, we didn't learn a ton of new information, but the information that we did glean from this document is pretty scintillating, including that the boxes that were recovered from Mar-a-Lago earlier this year contained top secret national defense information, including some pertaining to confidential human sources and information that is so sensitive it is not to be shared with foreign nationals. And we learned that the Justice Department searched the house because they had felt that they had probable cause to believe that still more classified information remained at the premises even after the National Archives seized 15 boxes in January, and that they believed that some of this evidence might be obstructed. So they certainly had a sense of urgency that led them to search this property earlier this month.
So, Sadie, obviously ahead of the release of this affidavit, there had been questions, especially from critics, about whether this search of Trump's property was justified.
Well, so much of the document is blacked out that we don't really get a full picture of what the Justice Department is using as its rationale to have searched this property. But what we do sense is that they believe that they had probable cause to search, in part because inside of 15 boxes of documents seized in January by the National Archives, there were hundreds with classified markings and dozens with markings of confidential, that the information inside the boxes was confidential, and still more marked secret, and some marked top secret. So the Justice Department is citing that as among the details that gave it probable cause to go to the house and seize those documents.
The affidavit was also heavily redacted. What can you tell us about what was not disclosed in this release, or what information may have been redacted and why?
Well, much of what we saw today in this affidavit underscores information that we have already reported. So most of what is not blacked out is already in the public view. What is blacked out are very top secret details, such as witness names, names of federal law enforcement agents, some of whom the government says have been threatened as a result of the search. We also don't really get a sense of where the investigation is headed. All of that information is darkened. We also don't really know what steps the Justice Department took in the immediate days leading up to the search that might have underscored the need for them to go to this property. So we aren't learning a lot of granular details about the investigation, but this to date is the fullest accounting, the fullest official accounting of the events that led to the search of Mar-a-Lago.
What else do we know about the investigation into Trump's handling of classified material and presidential records? Did we get anything new here?
We learned that the Justice Department had deep concerns about how highly sensitive documents were being handled at the Florida complex, including the possibility that some of the evidence related to their investigation had been obstructed. We have known that the Justice Department was concerned that classified records were unsecured and available for view by unauthorized people. This affidavit today sort of underscores that reporting. And we also learned that the Justice Department felt the information contained in these boxes was so sensitive that they had to physically go and retrieve it after months of negotiations for its return through less intrusive means.
Do we know anything more about why Trump was holding on to these materials?
Now, that is something that the affidavit does not reveal, and it remains the central question that we all have. Why did the former president refuse to give these documents up? What was he doing with them? Why were they at his private residence? That is not something that this document answers, but it is among the most pressing questions that remain.
And what are we hearing from Trump himself in response to the release of this redacted affidavit?
The former president used his social media platform to call the search of his house a total public relations subterfuge because so much of the affidavit was heavily darkened He is insinuating that this is basically a cover-up by the FBI, you know, that they didn't in fact find what it was that they had alleged they were looking for. And he said, you know, we gave them too much, criticizing the judge for allowing the FBI to search his home.
Trump has sued over the Mar-a-Lago search and has requested that a special master review the materials taken and even potentially return some. Sadie, what happens next here?
Well, what is known as a filter team is continuing to look through these documents to make sure that anything that is privileged or protected by any sort of privilege is kept out of the tranche of documents that the actual investigators on the case can view. But at this point, they are just sort of taking stock of what they have, as are we. And I think it's anybody's guess at how long this investigation takes and where it heads from here.
Wall Street Journal Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman. Sadie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, Americans are heading out on vacation this summer in numbers not seen in years. But many say they aren't taking a real break. A survey of senior executives by the executive search firm Korn Ferry this June found that 60% said they would be more in touch with work while vacationing this year than on previous vacations. Many say widespread staffing shortages make it hard to unplug from our emails and just take a break. But our careers reporter Ray Smith says others are pushing back on that.
There is a movement of people who are sort of like saying, reclaim your vacation or take back your vacation. And by that, what I mean is people who are saying, I'm really serious about my work-life balance, and I'm truly checking out when I'm going on vacation or I'm taking time off, and I mean it. That tends to happen more with younger people who have this attitude towards work that work shouldn't consume your life. And they may be even thinking, you know, I've watched my parents or older colleagues burnout, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to become that. And so they're putting their lines in the sand.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Anthony Bansi and Patty McMahon and Mohsen Ali, with help from Kate Bullivant, Julie Chang, Daniela Cheslow, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen. And editorial support from Peter Granitz, Kateri Yoakum, Michael Kosmides, and Chris Sinsley. Like what you hear? Rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Have a great weekend.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.